Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Kiddushin Chaf Dalet, Kiddushin 24a, pagination is 47. We're starting from just below midway on the page at the two dots in the middle of the line, Tana, we learnt. There's a concept mentioned in the Torah that an Eved Kenani would go free b'roshei evarim if the master damaged, destroyed one of the key limbs of the person. The example that the pasuk gives is shein, his tooth, va'ayin, or his eye. If either of them are knocked out, then the eved goes free from his servitude. Now, in terms of understanding the message and the insight of the mitzvah, Tamei HaMitzvahs, it is fascinating that in another similar law, Mitzvah Nun in the Chinuch, that if a master strikes the Eved a deathly blow and kills him, it's considered a capital offense. And the Mefarshim explain on different levels the insight. The Evan Ezra writes, Shelo yasrenu musur achzori, that the master, as much as he's allowed to get work from the slave, but he's not allowed to be cruel in the way that he deals with it. The Chinuch mentions that a person's not allowed to be overtaken by ka'as gadol, by a great anger, such that he strikes the person a deathly blow. The Abarbanel assumes that the master was very angry, even if it's justifiably so, and he's hitting the person to the point that another blow will kill him, and he administers that last blow and actually kills him. Hosef maka al makaso. That's what's so horrendous in that case of killing the Eved, and it's a capital offense. In our case, he didn't kill the Eved, but he struck him a blow that irreparably damaged a significant part of his body. And with that, the Eved goes free. And that's the result of striking such a blow. So the Gemara wants to understand, is shein va'ayin, the tooth and the eye, an example or examples of what would set free, which is the way it's understood, that's our tradition, that these are simply examples, but any one of the Rosh HaYevarim, if it would be, for example, an arm, it would be the same setting free. Or were these exceptions, and they are unique, only these two items? So Tana, we learned, Yotze B'Shein Va'ayin, the Eved would go free with the tooth and the eye, for Rosh HaYevarim she'enam chozrim, or any other key limbs that do not repair themselves. Bishlam Hashem v'ayin k'sivi, I understand that a tooth and an eye are written. Ale Rosh HaYevarim minalon, how do you know to extend this rule to all limbs? And the Gemara answers, Dum yedishen v'ayin. It's the same concept. Mashem va'ayin mumin shebegoloi ve'enam chozrim. They are blemishes in the open, and they don't return. They don't fix themselves. Afko mumin shebegoloi ve'enam chozrim. The same halacha would be in place for any similar type of damage. The Gemara challenges that. Ve'ema nihava shein va'ayin kishnei k'suvim aboim ke'echod. Why don't you say that shein va'ayin are two specific items that are listed, and the rule is that when you have two specific items that are listed, we assume that these are the only two items. Ein melamdin, You don't extrapolate from them. You do not use them as an example, as a paradigm, but instead they are the exception. Tzricha. We need both Shein and Ayin in order to teach the concept, and therefore they're not considered a list, but rather they're considered a paradigm to extend to other similar things. Why indeed did Shein v'Ayin have to be listed? Why is each one teaching me something? Tzricha, de'ikas of Rachmana Shein, if I only knew about a tooth, Hava Amina Afilu Shein Decholov, I would think even a baby tooth, if it got knocked out. Kasav Rachmana Ayin. So the Torah said, no, it's got to be like an eye. It's got to be something that will not replace itself, and a baby tooth, an adult tooth, will take its place. He's not without it for life, without teeth, without the tooth. And therefore, Shein had to be... Shein was not sufficient, we needed Ayin. V'ikaz of Rachmana Ayin, and if I only knew I have Amina Ma'ayin Shenivra Imo, I would think only an eye that was created with him, meaning it was functional from the beginning. Avkol Shenivra Imo, only things that are functional from the beginning, Avol Shein, lo. But a tooth was not functional from the time that he was born. Tzricha, I need to know both Shein v'Ayin, but they are still teaching me as examples all other similar things. They are not an enumeration of the only two things which would have this halacha. The Gemara continues and tells us that essentially this follows the rule of klal uprat uklal, because there's a pasuk starting off ki yakeh. Klal, any time that you hit, that's considered a klal, a general rule. Then there's the prat of Shein v'Ayin, this specific example, tooth and eye. And then there's a klal, lachofshi yishalchenu, that you're going to have to send him free as a very general rule. And the rule is, klal uprat uklal, if the presentation of the psukim is such that it's general, then specific, then general, iat adon elokein haprat, then you say the general rule according to things that match the specific example that was given. And once again, we state the guidelines, mahaprat mefurash mum shebegoloi ve'enam chozrim, the itemized things are damages that are visible and they do not rejuvenate. Avkomum shebegalui ve'inan chozrim. Similarly, things that are open damages and they do not rejuvenate would all be included in this rule that the Eved gets set free if the master does that type of damage. I want to add in an intriguing concept. About midway on Amud Beis, we have an idea, neged eino ve'eino roe, if the master struck near the eye, and therefore the Eved can't see, kineged ozno ve'eino shamea, near the ear, and now the Eved can't hear, Ein Eved Yotze Ben Lecherus, the Eved doesn't go free because of that. Now, this is not talking that he slammed a part of the head and caused the damage, because that too is causing the damage. It means, as the Gemara explains, that kala, the effects of a blow, even to a wall, but somehow caused the person to no longer be able to see, to no longer be able to hear. And the Gemara explains it, Shiny Adam, a person is unique, Dekevan Debar Da'asu, because he has intention, he's got a very powerful brain, Iu Mavis Nafshe, it's possible for a person to damage themselves out of fear. and that's not considered a direct damage. This very well may be related to the idea that if a person, they put a person into a freezer truck that was off, and whatever the gang situation was, but they put him into a freezer that was off, but they told him it was on, and they found that the person died from the autopsy. It was clear he died from the same bodily function as if it had been a freezing truck, because the brain, based on his expectation that it was freezing, caused him to go into that mode of freezing. And the brain has the power to actually do the damage, even though the damage wasn't actually inflicted in a physical way. Yeshakoach, thank you for joining.